Okay, we're holding on Psachim Daf Ayin Zayin. We're at the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. Today's shir is sponsored L'Refuah Shlema for David Ben Galit. Okay, well, we just said that the word Mo'ed, L'Mo'ado, is what teaches us that you always have to bring it at that time, even if you have the Havamina that you shouldn't bring it at that time, like your Tameh or like it's Shabbat. So we go on the Gemara, we say like this, L'meimra d'chul hu mimoed atu. So does that suggest that we learn out all of the Korban Tzibor, all the communal offerings that they should be brought, regardless of your state of Tumah or Shabbat, from that word, Moed? Minani mili, how do you know this? The Tana Rabbanan, right? The rabbis learned from the following pasuk, V'edever Moshe et Moed Hashem, that Moshe taught all of the Moedim of Hashem. Matam Lomar. What is that pasuk supposed to teach us? L'vishalo lamadnu el tamid u'pesach. Because so far, we'd only learned by something unique, by Korban Tamid and Korban Pesach, that they are brought, even in a situation where you assume they wouldn't be brought. Shneimar behu Moado, right? Because it says by Tamid and by Pesach, the word Moado. B'moado v'afilu b'shabbat. So by Tamid, you said, it's brought every single day. So even on Shabbat, b'moado v'afilu b'tumah. And by Korban Pesach, you have to bring it. And that teaches you that even if you're in a state of Tumah. So that we know because of the psukim written just by them, right? We do not yet know necessarily that Shabbat is brought in a state of that. We do not yet know, however, that the Korban Pesach necessarily is brought on Shabbat. Furthermore, Shara Korbanot Tzibor Minayin. And how do we know about the rest of the communal Korbanot that you're allowed to bring them even while you're Tamei? Shneemar, Eile Ta'asu Lashem B'Mo'adichem. Well, that we learn from the pasuk that these you do elatasu lashem moedechem v'rashem in your moed. Okay, well, where minayin l'rabot omer v'akarev imo shtei halechem v'akarev imam? How about the korban omer and the korban shtei halechem? How do you know that those are docher shabbat? Tamad lomar v'dibir Moshe ed moedei Hashem el bnei Yisrael k'tuv kavu moed echad l'chulan. So this pasuk establishes, you know, makes an ishur kav between all of the Moadim, and so anything, so all of the Moadim, their Korbanot, are brought even in a state of Tumah. And even on Shabbat. V'chol hani lamali. Why do I need all these different psukim, right? Why couldn't I just learn it all from the same pasuk? Tzriche, it's necessary for the following reason. De'i katav rachmana tamid, hava amina tamid, shekein tadir v'chalil v'pesach lo, kamash milan. If it just would have written by a korban tamid, I would have said, yeah, it's davka by a tamid, because a korban tamid happens every single day, so it's unique, and it's completely burnt up. However, the korban pesach doesn't happen every day, it happens once a year, right? And furthermore, it's not completely burnt up, it's primarily gonna be eaten. So I can't make that assumption by korban pesach that it's like tamid. That's why I need the psukim both by tamid and by korban pesach. V'katav rachmana pesach pesach shu anush karet aval tamid ein anush karet emalo. If I just want to talk about korban pesach, you would assume it's unique to korban pesach because you get karet for not doing korban pesach. However, by tamid, maybe I wouldn't make such an assumption that you're allowed to bring in instead of too much. But kamash malan, therefore I teach you also by pesach. V'katav rachmana hani tarti. If you just want to tell me these two, have amina hani who yesh ba chad tzad chamor tamid tadir v'chalil pesach shu anush karet aval shar korban tzibur emalo. If I just want to tell you these two, I would assume each of these two respectively have their chumras, in which case they, it makes sense that they are both brought for independent reasons. However, the rest of the korbanot should not be brought. And therefore, the Torah wrote that these you must do for Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Moed. V'katav rachmana ila tasu l'Hashem v'modeichem, hava min ashar korbanat tzibor bayin l'chaper, aval omer shtei lechem dein bayin l'chaper, l'hatir ba'alma ninhu. Right? And if you just would have written that pasuk, it would have taught me that the other korbanot tzibor could be brought, but I wouldn't necessarily know about the korban omer and the shtei lechem, because the other korbanot tzibor come to, there's a very important reason here. They come to be mechaper, they atone for the nation, whereas the other korbanot just come to permit you to do something. You know, the korban omer allows you to eat the new grain of the time, in which case we'd say, okay, just wait another day to eat your grain. I mean, we understand it's necessary to get kapara for everyone else, to get kapara for Klal Yisrael, but if we're just talking about the ability to eat more food, then, you know, okay, just wait one more day. Maybe it shouldn't be Docha Shabbat. I wouldn't know from that pasuk. Kamash Mulan, that's why I need to teach you That's why I needed the additional pasuk to teach you by or korban omer and shteilechem. V'i katav rachmana omer v'shteilechem lechudayu. And if you just want to teach, taught me those, havamina adaraba omer v'shteilechem the alime de ba'in lahatir of alhanach lo kamash melan. Right. So I would have assumed that if you just would have taught me omer and shteilechem, I would not have been able to derive the rest of the korbanot from them, because I would have said, well, you know, these have a certain chashivut, a certain significance. One korban and it's able to matir all my food, right? And so they're very, very unique. But I wouldn't make the same assumption about all the other korbanot. So I really need each and every single one of these pesukim. Savru ha delechule alma tuma dechuya hi betzibur uvaya tzitz lirata. We seem to be operating under the assumption that everyone agrees that tuma, in order to bring the korbanot, tuma is pushed off when everyone in the community is tameh and you need to bring the korban tzibur. But you still need this special garment, the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. You need that to allow you to bring a korban in a state of tuma. Meaning, it's not so pasha that you're allowed to bring a korban in a state of tuma. When everyone's tameh, you have no other choice. But we need the Kohen Gadol to have this special garment on that allows us to even do this, right? And that's because you'd be operating under the assumption that the tuma is dechuya, is just pushed off. Right? Because the only shita that we heard who says the tuma is Hutra betzibor, as opposed to dechuya betzibor, is Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what's the difference? Dechuya means that it's still present. There's just an overwhelming consideration here. Hutra means it's not even present. So, tuma is a reason not to bring a korban. So, are we saying that in such an instance, you have no reason not to bring a korban? Or are we saying, no, you still have a reason not to bring a korban, but the reason to bring the korban outweighs it? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's hutra betzibur. There's now no longer a reason not to bring a korban. Right? So the tuma doesn't even exist. D'tanya, we learned the braita, tzitz ben sheyesh no al mitzcho ben sheyeno al mitzcho miratze. That this the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, you know, whether it's on his forehead or not on its forehead, still works to make these korbanot accepted. Divrei Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon's position. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Odehu al mitzcho meratze. If it's on its forehead, then it works. Ein odehu al mitzcho en meratze. Right? Or if it's not on its forehead, it doesn't work. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon responded to him, Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur miyachiyah. Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur should be a strong proof for my position. Sheino al mitzcho meratze, because it's not on his forehead. And still, the korban works. Amar lo hanach leyom kippurim shetuma hutra betzibur. Says, well, you know, you can't bring me an example from Yom Kippur, because by the korban on Yom Kippur, we say tuma is hutra betzibur, right? That in such a case, tuma is hutra, meaning there's no reason not to bring the korban on Yom Kippur. And so, because there's no reason, there's no problem of tuma whatsoever, you don't even need the tzitz to allow you to bring it in the state of tuma. Right, meaning that it would seem to indicate that Rabbi Shimon holds that tuma is not hutra betzibur, rather dechuya betzibur, and you still have a reason not to bring it when you're in a state of tuma. But we push off that reason, but still you require the tzitz to allow you to bring such a korban. But it seems like Rabbi Yehuda's shita that the tuma is hutra betzibur is outweighed. Right, seems that the other Tanaim are in according to the Bishimon's Shita, the tuma is only dechuya betzibur. Udechule alma anatitz maratze ala achilot. And furthermore, we can assert the following assumption that's being made, that the tzitz allows the korban to be accepted, however, it doesn't allow the korban to be eaten. Because the only Tana we've heard who says that that the tzitz comes to allow you even to eat the korban is Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanya is ruined by Rabbi Eliezer. Omer atzitz marata al achilot. Rabbi Yosef omer atzitz marata al achilot. Right, because Rabbi Eliezer says that the tzitz does not allow you to actually eat the korban. Rabbi Eliezer says the tzitz even allows you to eat the korban that you just sacrificed, but Rabbi Yosef says not so. Neima matnitin deloka Rabbi Yeshua. Maybe we can suggest that our Mishnah does not follow the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua. Detanya, we're going to write Vasita ulatecha habasar vehadam. Right, so you bring your korban, the basar and the blood, right, the flesh and the blood. Rabbi Yeshua Omer im ein dam en basar. Imen basar, in dam. And what Rabbi Shua means to say is, you have to be bringing both of them properly. However, if there's a problem with the blood, the flesh is not an acceptable korban. And if there's a problem with the flesh, the blood is not an acceptable korban. Right? What could be the problem? Well, maybe you don't have it. Maybe you lost it. Maybe it became tame. Either way, they're a package deal. Rabbi Elazar mer dam, afal pisha ein basar. Right? And Rabbi Elazar says, no. You can actually still bring the blood, still do the sprinkling of the blood, and that works, even if you don't have the flesh. Shneamar, how do you know? V'dam zivachecha yishafech. Right, as it says, the blood of your zevach shall be poured. Right, so the blood seems to be that you should always sprinkle the blood, independent of whether the meat is there. Umani mekayim besedil atecha basar v'dam. And then, okay, so what does Rabbi Elazar do with the pasuk that seems to group them together? Lomar lecha madam bezrika av basar bezrika. Just to tell you that they're put on the mizbeach in a similar way. Right, that. Just like you are supposed to throw the blood onto the mizbeach, so too you're supposed to throw the flesh onto the mizbeach. Havei omer lul katan yesh ben keves on mizbeach, right? And because there is this small ditch between the ramp and the mizbeach, and what you do is you actually toss it onto the mizbeach. Rabbi Yeshua nami achti v'dam zivchecha yishapech. Well, then we have to ask, well, what does Rabbi Yeshua do with this pasuk of dam zivchecha yishapech, which seems to imply that you always offer the blood even if the flesh isn't there. Amar lecho haktiv gabe v'habasar tocheu. Right? So he would say, yeah, well, fast forward, later on, like fast forward, in your reading of that pasuk, how does that end? V'habasar tocheu. Says later on, you eat the meat. In which case, when is it that you eat the meat? When you throw, sprinkle the blood. So even that pasuk doesn't isolate the blood from the meat. Rather, they're still a package deal. Fani trei kalari lamali. Well, in which case, you're learning the same things from both pesukim, that they're a package deal, the blood of the meat. Why do you need two pesukim to teach you the same thing? Chad be'olah v'chad b'shlam. Right? One's to teach you that this is the case by a korban olah, and one is to teach you that this is the case by the korban shlamim, that the blood and the flesh are a package deal. You're missing one, you don't have anything. And you should know that it was necessary to teach that both by the Ola and by the Shlom. How so? In other words, why was it necessary to teach both?
Well,
because Ola and Shlamim have different chumras, right? So by an Ola, it's completely burnt up. It's all burnt up. You don't get to eat anything by it. So I would say that's a unique chumra by Ola that you can't say for Shlamim. By Shlamim, everyone gets to, by Shlamim, everyone's eating, right? And so I would say that if you only taught me by Ola, I would say that only by Ola where everything's burnt up. Alternatively, there is a unique element to Shlamim that there are two achilot, right? That there are, right? Part of the meat is put on an additional korban to be eaten by Kadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, and part of the meat is eaten by the ones who brought the korban. Right, so there are two different achilot going on here. So maybe if I only taught it by Shlamim, I would assume maybe not so by Ola. So I had to teach in both. Oh, now what does Rabbi Eliezer do with the fact at the end of the pasuk that he is bringing in, or the later on the Torah says by the pasuk that he is bringing in to indicate that they are not a package deal? It does talk about eating the meat. It sounds like a package deal, like Rabbi Yeshua explains. Amar Cha, Rabbi Elazar would say, "Ahumi bayale she'in abasar mutar ba'achila ad sheyizarek hadam." So Rabbi Elazar says, "Yeah, that pasuk is coming to teach you that the meat is only permitted once you sprinkle the blood. Not to say that if you don't have the meat, you shouldn't sprinkle the blood, but that if you have the meat and you want to eat the meat, it's only mutar once you do the sprinkle of the dam." Right? Ihachi ema kule lehachi hu de'ata dam afalpi she'en basar minalan. Well, if that were the case, then just say the whole pasuk comes to teach you. The whole pasuk comes to teach you just the heter. Right? The whole pasuk comes to teach you just that you can't eat the meat until you sprinkle the blood. How do you know that this pasuk is coming to teach you at all what you originally said, which is that you sprinkle the blood even if there's no meat? Sounds like you're saying this pasuk is teaching you two different things, but maybe this pasuk is only teaching you the second part, which is that you need to sprinkle the blood in order to eat it. How do you see that it's teaching you two different things? Amar lecha, im kein nichta rachmana, habasar tochel, v'hadar v'dam zivachecha yishafech. Right? If the pasuk wanted to teach you only one thing, it more reasonably should have written that you eat the meat when you do the sprinkling of the blood. From the fact that you wrote the sprinkling of the blood first and then the meat, we assume that it can teach you two different things. Kidichtiv bereisha vasita olotecha habasar vehadam. Maishna de akdeme ledam zivchecha, shmamina dam achopi she'en basar, veshmamina she'en basar mutar vachila achi zarek adam. Right, so that first pasuk, vasita lotecha habasar vahadam, puts the meat before the blood. Right? The meat comes before the blood in the pasuk. And yet here, vadam zivchecha yishapech, puts the blood before the meat. Why does it switch the order? Why does it originally teach the meat and then the blood, and the next pasuk says the blood and then the meat? Why does it change the order? Because you're supposed to understand that you're learning different things from different parts of this pasuk, right? That's the idea here. It switches the order to tell you that you can learn two different things from this pasuk, namely that you sprinkle the blood even if you don't have the meat, and second of all, that you can only the first one, which talks about the blood first. Right? When you would assume it talks about the meat first, like the other pasuk, it's coming to teach you, why do we teach you blood first? Because blood, even if you don't have the meat, you still bring it. And then the second part of the pasuk teaches you, once you learn that from the first part of the pasuk, the second part of the pasuk teaches you that you can only eat the meat once you sprinkle the blood. Rabbi Yeshua, ein abasar mutar b'achila ad shizarek adam kal v'chomer. So now, if Rabbi Yeshua obviously agrees to that halacha, that you cannot eat the meat until you sprinkle the blood, but where does he know that from? Because he doesn't learn it from this pasuk. So he holds that it's a kal v'chomer. Uma emurin dechi leitnehu lo me'akve, ki itnehu me'akve. He would say it from a kal v'chomer, right? When you don't have the excess fats and limbs that are burnt up, if you don't have them, so it's not me'akve. It's fine. You can still eat the meat. However, if you do have those limbs and fats, then they're ma'akib. Right? So dam, meaning that they need to be burnt up in order for you to eat the meat. Dam, dechilete ma'akib, ki'ite lo kol shekein ma'akib. So the blood, where if you don't have it, it's still ma'akib, right? According to Rabbi Yeshua, right? If the dam, if you don't have it, it's still ma'akib, right? If you don't have the blood, you lose the blood at all, you know, altogether. So you can't bring the meat. It's ma'akev. So if you do have the blood, kal v'chomer, it's going to be ma'akev that you have to sprinkle the blood before you can eat it. V'Rabbi Eliezer, what would Rabbi Eliezer say to this kal v'chomer? Seems like a totally reasonable kal v'chomer, no? Because even though Rabbi Eliezer says that you still sprinkle the blood when you don't have the meat, he agrees, however, that you don't eat the meat if you don't have the blood. So he agrees with the premise, and the kal v'chomer is solid, it's good logic, so what would he say to this kal v'chomer? Milta dati v'kal v'chomer, tarif v'gata v'kra. So Rabbi Eliezer would say, sure, it's something you could learn in the kal v'chomer, but just because you could learn from a kal v'chomer doesn't mean it's unreasonable that there's a pasuk for it. I learned it from a pasuk because I assume that the Torah is teaching me a pasuk. Just because I could have learned it from a kal v'chomer does not mean that it's unreasonable to assume that this is also what the pasuk is saying. It happens that the Torah says something explicitly that you could have learned from a kal v'chomer. Rabbi Yeshua, kol hecha de'ikil midrash drashinan. And Rabbi Yeshua would say, no. Wherever we could make such a drasha, we do make such a drasha. I can make this kal v'chomer, so I'm going to make this kal v'chomer here. And then I have to use that pasuk for something else. It's got to be talking about something. And my first assumption is if I can learn the din from a kal v'chomer, learn it from a kal v'chomer. In which case, if I have a pasuk that seems to indicate it, the pasuk is really talking about something else. Which is a fascinating point in understanding maybe what's behind their, how liberally they use the Yud Gimel Midot, and maybe specifically Kal V'Chomer, which is different than the rest of the Yud Gimel Midot. But topic for another time. Hashkalim amatiti de loger of Yeshua, the kevan de amar ba'inan tarte, v'tzit achil lo meratze, hechiati v'tuma. Now, the whole point we brought this in is because we wanted to suggest that Rabbi Yeshua's position doesn't really work well with our Mishnah, right? Because Rabbi Yeshua says that blood and the blood and the flesh are interconnected, right? So you don't have one, they don't have the other. And we said that the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, the forehead plate of the Kohen Gadol, is meratzeh for the korban, for the sacrificial parts, but not for the ochel parts, right? So clearly we draw a differentiation between the ochel and the sacrificial parts, whereas Rabbi Yeshua sees them as interconnected in every way, right? So maybe he's not the author of our Mishnah, maybe our Mishnah doesn't accord with Rabbi Yeshua. I'm sorry, just to say the previous point a little more clearly, if the tzitz does not work for the achila, right, so then the achila is pasul. Right? The food you're trying to eat is going to be pasul, right? And if the food is pasul, then you don't bring the blood, right? So our Mishnah, which seems to indicate that you do bring the blood because the korban works and you do the sprinkling of the blood, seems to not follow Rabbi Yeshua Shita, because Rabbi Yeshua says that if the meat isn't fit, then you don't sprinkle the blood. And if the tzitz doesn't help the meat, then the meat doesn't fit. Then what we respond is, afilu tamei Rabbi Yeshua, it could even work the Rabbi Yeshua Shita, like Hasav Rabbi Yeshua, tzitz meratzeh ala olin, right? The emurin, the other parts that are burnt up, not all of it is eaten. Right? The other parts that are burnt up, the tzitz works for, just not on the part that you eat. And since the tzitz works for that part, and that's valid, then you bring the blood, even though the part that you eat isn't valid. Ha tenach zvachim, the ika olin, ela omer shtei alechem, the leka olin, maik lemimar. Fine. That works for a zevach that has parts of the flesh that you burn up, and then that would be valid, and then you bring the blood. However, the korban omer, the shtei lechem, don't have those parts that you burn up. So what do you say here? Amrei ki amar Yeshua nami debein antarte bezvachim b'mnachod la'amar. Sure, well, Rabbi Yeshua only said that you need both. You need the goof of the korban to be valid. So in theory, there is this part of the Korban Omer that's supposed to be brought on the Korban, and it is parallel to the, so it's supposed to be brought on the Mizbeach, and it's parallel to the blood of the Korban which you put on the Mizbeach. Now, the Omer does not have any additional parts that are burnt up on the Mizbeach to suggest that that what parallels the blood for the Korban Omer can only be brought when the other part of the Korban Omer is burnt up on the Mizbeach. That part doesn't exist by the Korban Omer. There's only the part that you eat and the part that's parallel to the blood, right? So, so what would he say for such a case? How could he say that you can eat this in a state of Tumah? And what we say is that he only required both, meaning he only assumed that these two components were interconnected by a zevach. He never made such an assertion by a mincha, right? By an omer. Ubmenachot lo amar. Really? He didn't say that by the mincha you need both. Vatnan din milin mishnah. Nitmu sheareha avdu sheareha. Right? If the remnants of the mincha were left over or they became tamei, kemidat Rabbi Lezer kashera, kemidat Rabbi Yeshua psula. So according to Rabbi Lezer, you're going to say they're kasher, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, you're going to have to say that they're pasul because you lost some of it and they're interconnected, right? And so if you don't have one, then you don't have the other. So it seems to be that that according to Rabbi Yeshua, even by a non-animal sacrifice, we say that the two are interconnected. Kemidat velo kemidat. Yeah, when we say kemidat Rabbi Yeshua, we mean it's like it, but not necessarily exactly like it. Kemidat Rabbi Yeshua to be an antark, but it's similar to Rabbi Yeshua Shita because you know it requires both. Velo kemidat Rabbi Yeshua, dilo Rabbi Yeshua v'zvachim amar menachem lo amar. But it's not exactly Rabbi Yeshua because Rabbi Yeshua only said it by zvachim; he didn't say it by menachem. Ve'ilu ha'i tana sevar afilu menachem. But this tana, the offer of this mishnah, says even by menachem, this is the case. Well, who is this Tana who holds fundamentally like Rabbi Yeshua and then is even more machmir than him? And furthermore, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yosi Roe Niyat Divrei Rabbi Elazar Menachot Bezvachim V'Divrei Rabbi Yeshua Bezvachim Menachot. Right? So we have this statement of Rabbi Yosi who says that there was something that Rabbi Eliezer said by Zvachim Menachot that Rabbi Yossi agreed with, and there's something that Rabbi Yeshua said by Zvachim Menachot that Rabbi Yossi agreed with, right? Shaya Omer, Divrei Rabbi Elazar Mizvachim, what is the statement of Rabbi Elazar made by Zvachim? Shaya Omer Dam Afal Pi She'en Sham Basar, right? That you sprinkle the blood even if you don't have the basar. But Divrei Rabbi Shu Mizvachim, and what did Rabbi Shu say about Zvachim that he agreed with? Shaya Omer Im Ein Dam Ein Basar, Im Ein Basar Ein Dam, right? That if you don't have one, you don't have the other. Divrei Rabbi Elazar Menachot, in the words of Rabbi Elazar Menachot, Shaya Omer Kometz Afal Pi She'en Shiraim, that Rabbi Elazar says that you bring the komets of the korban mincha even if you don't have the rest of the korban mincha. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua Menachot Shai Omer im ein komets ein shiraim im ein shiraim ein komets, that the leftover parts of the omer that you bring to the mizbeach and the rest of the omer, if you don't have one, then you don't have the other. Right? So Rabbi Yossi was basically saying, you know, I hear both of their shitas, both by Zvachim and by Menachot. They're machlok. I hear each of their shitas that they say by Zvachim, that they argue with each other, and each of their shitas that they say by Menachot, that they argue with each other. So certainly seems from this statement that Rabbi Lezer, or that Rabbi Shua does in fact hold the same thing by Zvachim and Menachot. So it must be that Rabbi Yeshua holds that the tzitz is meratzeh, affects the effectiveness of the korban both by what is burnt up on the mizbeach and by the part that you eat. Ihachi amai kamid that Rabbi Yeshua psula. Well, if that were the case, then why did we say earlier that if you do kamidat Rabbi Yeshua, meaning that if the korban becomes pasul, then kamidat Rabbi Yeshua it cannot be brought. Right? Sorry, if the korban becomes tameh, kamidat Rabbi Yeshua, it's pasul. Well, why? If Rabbi Yeshua just says that the tzitz is meratzeh on all parts of the korban, even the part that you eat, then you should be able to bring in the state of tumah. Avud v'sarv. Yeah, he wasn't talking about when it became tameh. Inach enami, Rabbi Yeshua would say it works, it becomes tameh. He's talking about when it's burnt up or lost. Ela nitma leman katane. So then for whose benefit did it teach if it becomes tameh? That if it becomes tameh, I mean, we thought that if it was tameh or it was lost. And what you want to say is, in achinami, Rabbi Yeshua would say that tameh is fine. Then why do we teach tameh? For whose benefit? Rabbi Eliezer. Oh, we're teaching it for Rabbi Eliezer's shita, because it makes an afkamina for Rabbi Eliezer. Pshita. Ha yesh lamar avud v'sarav delet nu mavshi Rabbi Eliezer nitma de'ita mipaya. Well, Rabbi Eliezer's shita is obvious. You don't need to teach me tameh for his shita. He says that it's kosher if it was burnt up or lost entirely. Here you have it. You literally have it in front of you. So it's tameh. Obviously it's going to be valid. Obviously it's going to be kosher. Right? You can't tell me you're only bringing tameh for Rabbi Eliezer shita. Ela pshita la Rabbi Yeshua. It must have been brought to teach you something about Rabbi Yeshua shita. Ve'katani psula. And yet it says that it's invalid. Right? In which case, hard to suggest that Rabbi Yeshua's shita is that the tzitz is meratzeh on the parts that you eat. The Otanya, furthermore, Rabbi Yeshua Omer kol zvachim shebetorah bein shenitma basar vechelev kayam bein shenitma chelev basar kayam zorek detam. Right, that according to Rabbi, it says Rabbi Yeshua says that with all korban in the Torah, whether the basar becomes tameh and the chelev, but you still have the proper chelev, or whether the chelev becomes tameh and you still have the proper basar, zorek detam. So you bring you do a sprinkle of the blood. But once they both become tameh, you don't bring them. Seems like Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold that the tzitz helps you out with the sacrificial parts or the eating parts, right? Because he says that if either the chalev or the basar are tameh, the chalev is burnt up, you don't eat the chalev. The basar is subsequently eaten. So if either part of those becomes tameh, right, then you don't sprinkle the blood. Sounds like the tzitz doesn't help you with either of those. Ela le'olam Rabbi Yeshua hi matniti. Okay, so throw all that out and just say like this. Really, our Mishnah can go in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua Shita, v'lo kasha. Still, we don't have a difficulty. Kan lechachila, kan diavad. Right? Where one is lechachila, where ideally you should not do the sprinkling of the blood, but b'dievet you do, it still works. Ki amar Rabbi Yeshua lechachila diavad. He only says that lechachila you shouldn't do the sprinkling of the blood. However, if you did the sprinkling of the blood, it still works. That's quite a new kimta we're making here. How do you know? Who told you that Rabbi Yeshua differentiates between the chachil and the avad? The Tanya, we learned in a bright end. Nitma basar oshin nifsal oshiyatza chutz lekilaim. Rabbi Elazar Omer yizarik. Rabbi Yeshua Omer lo yizarik. Right? That if the basar becomes tameh or becomes pasal from being brought on a Deir Rabbanan level, or if it was brought outside of the area that it was allowed to be brought in the sacrificial process, according to Rabbi Ezra, he would say he still sprinkled the blood. According to Rabbi Yeshua, says you don't sprinkle the blood. Umod Rabbi Yeshua she'im zara kurza. And yet, Rabbi Yeshua says that if you did sprinkle the blood, it works. So there, we have a proof that Rabbi Yeshua differentiates between the chachila and the eved. Chada de psula di eved mashma ve'od chamisha dvarim barin the chachila mashma. Two problems with assuming that Rabbi Yeshua differentiates between the chachil and b'di'evet. First of all, pasul is lashon, it's problem, even b'di'evet. Right? It's pasul. It doesn't say osir. It doesn't say don't do it. Right? This is pasul. That means that it's invalid. Sounds like even b'di'evet. Furthermore, remember our Mishnah that said five things can be brought in a state of tumah? And that sounds like l'charchila. Right? That sounds like five things can be brought in a state of tumah. L'charchila, not five things, if you brought them, it still works. Very problematic to say that our Mishnah works like Rabbi Yeshua, just talking about l'charchila b'di'evet. Our Mishnah is talking about l'charchila. Elokashu kan b'yechid kan b'tzibor. Rather, b'metar, it's like this. There's a difference between individual and a tzibor. When Rabbi Yeshua says that the two are linked, and if you don't have one, you can't bring the other by the meat becoming tummy, you don't sprinkle the blood, he's talking about for an individual. However, by a tzibor, you do. If a tzibor, if the basar becomes meat, becomes tummy by a korban tzibor, you still sprinkle the blood.